for the message this week is looking for a way to start the message. And in the middle of the week, Nella Johnson came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, you're doing this series on treasure, and I got to tell you about something that happened." And she said that her and Doug were at a car show, and they were looking at these different cars, and the one, there was a 1964 Avanti, and they were looking at this, and the owner of the car gave them a little card. And so the card looks like, you can't see it where you are, but here's a picture of it. And so as a picture of this Avanti, it's a beautiful car. I mean, this is just a drawing of the actual car. But they had this, and then they open it up, and you think, well, it's going to be like facts about the car. But this is what it said on the inside. This is really cool. On the inside, it said, "Thanks for admiring my car. It is a ton of fun, but it's lackluster compared to the thrill of knowing Jesus Christ and the real joy that only he gives. As sharp as this 1964 Avante is, it will wear out or be outclassed by something else. I just can't place my identity, security, or confidence in something so temporal. That's why my relationship with Jesus is so fabulous. His love and care for me and his joy, wisdom, and guidance available to me never diminish. He never changes. If you want to know more about the joy that is infinitely more exhilarating than this car, let's talk." And then it says Wayne, and then it gives his actual phone number at the bottom of this. She gave this to me, and yeah, that's great. That fits so well. It really fits with this message that, you know, this car, it is a thing of beauty and a well-crafted piece of art like that, but it's not the ultimate beauty. It needs to point towards the ultimate source of beauty, and just a really neat way that somebody was able to take something like that and use it as a tool. And honestly, it was a better intro than my other idea, which is show off my collection of Old Spice antiperspirant. It really is a treasure, I'll tell you. I got some good stuff, but this worked out better. So today, talking about treasure, and the title for this message today is The Treasure of God. Now, what do I mean by that when I say the treasure of God? That God gives us treasure, there's treasure that's from him. Now, what I mean by this is that God himself is the greatest treasure. And so that's the main point of this message, is that we need to realize that God himself is the greatest treasure. He isn't lead to some other treasure. Okay, he is not the treasure map. God is the treasure himself. God is the ultimate treasure that we have. And even if there are lesser treasures, at the most, they're like the treasure map that point to God as the ultimate treasure. So, 3 points that kind of unpack this today. The first we're going to have, point one, is that if God is your treasure, then you have the greatest treasure. If you actually make him to be your treasure, then what you have the greatest treasure, and to recognize that he is the treasure. Other messages in this series, one from last week, that you should be willing to sell everything you have if that's what it takes to acquire this treasure, because more valuable than anything else. Now, when I was working on this series, one of the things that I did is I went and I looked up the word treasure as it appears in Scripture. And so cataloged, you know, different times that the word treasure appeared. In the New Testament, it's basically the word we get thesaurus from. It means like a storehouse, either the storage place for the treasure or the treasure itself. But there are also places in the Old Testament. And two that I noticed that I thought were really interesting, sometimes we're just talking about literal treasure. You know, they conquer some city and take their treasure. But two of them, I thought this was really interesting. One was Proverbs 15:16. Says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." I'm saying, if you had to pick, which would you take? Would you rather have great treasure of this world, okay, physical treasure, riches, and all this, and it's going to come with trouble too, more money, more problems, or is it better just have a little, you have enough to get by, but you also fear the Lord? You know the Lord, and you know who he is, and you have a good relationship with the Lord, and he is your refuge, and all these things that are part of being the fear of the Lord. So this verse saying that the fear of the Lord is a greater treasure than all the treasure that you could get in this material world. And then Isaiah 50 or 33, 5 and 6, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high, and he will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. And Zion, another way of pointing to Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, that all these things about God. But here it says, well, if the first verse said that the fear of the Lord is greater than any treasure, the second one is saying the fear of the Lord is the treasure. He is the ultimate treasure that we seek, that we can have. I also noticed, too, it talked in both of these, the fear of the Lord. I thought that was an interesting thing. The fear of the Lord is treasure. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. A year ago, we did a whole series doing a deep dive into the concept of the fear of the Lord, and that's online, and if you haven't watched that, I encourage you to, because I think it's really important. But in that message, if you were there, remember we talked about the fact that God is more like a table saw than he's like a cotton ball. Okay, a cotton ball, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have with a cotton ball, you know, it's safe, it's not going to do you any harm. But God is not like that. He's more like a table saw. Table saws are not evil. They're not terrible. They're good things. People spend good money on table saws. They're powerful and they can do a lot of things. But it does matter what kind of a relationship you have with a table saw, okay? Because if you have a good relationship with a table saw, thumbs up. If you have a bad relationship with a table saw, thumbs off, or worse. And same way, God is good. He is completely good, but he is powerful. He is not safe, but that's a good thing. That means if you are on his side, you have him in all his strength and all his power to be your ally, to be your defender, to be your refuge. But you don't want to be in the wrong relationship with God. And so the fear of the Lord doesn't mean running away from him like you're scared, but having this deep awe and respect for God. And this verse saying, the fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. And if it's talking about the fear of the Lord, I mean, that's one aspect of who God is. But even if that's our treasure, well, how much more some of the other, you know, things that describe God, his love, his faithfulness, all of these things, really everything of who God is, because you can't divide up God, is our treasure to us. So God himself is the greatest, is the ultimate treasure. And it's such an awesome thing that the message of the Bible is that God is inviting us. He wants us to join into his happiness. Do you ever think of God that he is a happy God? Okay, not a happiness with an emotion that's exactly like ours, and our emotions come and go. But when we think about God, do we sometimes think, oh, he's just miserable. I don't want to be like that. Now we know that God, he's upset with sin. There's different things, but those are temporary things because he's going to defeat that. But from all eternity past, you know, there's one God with three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with you know, mutual love that is before time began, before he created. You know, God knows how the story ends, so he's not stressed out, okay? He knows how that he's going to be victorious. He knows that even all the tough things in life that he knows and he cares about, but he knows how he's going to use them for good. You know, even Jesus going to the cross, which was a terrible thing, obviously, the pain and suffering he went through and taking the wrath of God upon himself for us, but he was able to look for the joy that was beyond that, you know, the salvation it would produce. So at the core, you know, God is a God of happiness. And I don't mean the surface happiness, deep, real happiness. And he's inviting you to join in on that and to have the happiness and joy that comes from him. Christianity is not about making you miserable. It's about God being your treasure and giving you greater happiness and ultimately pleasure than you could ever experience anywhere else. At different times, different theologians would describe this in different ways. Sometimes in the Middle Ages, they referred to it as the beatific vision, that we want to have this time where you can see God in his fullness and in his glory and to experience him in this just beautiful, life-changing, you know, vision, knowing him. There's some verses. Psalm 16:11, "You made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Okay, this is not a God that's promising, "Come to me and I'll make you miserable." It's saying, no, ultimately there is greater pleasure, greater satisfaction, greater joy in him. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Blessed, happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Have you taken your refuge in God? So the gospel is not ultimately even about just, the good news is not ultimately just about keeping you from hell. If you think, well, that's the big message, we would deserve to go to hell, which is true, and Jesus came and died on the cross, so you don't have to go to hell. Well, okay, that's true, but that's not ultimately what it's all about. And it's not even ultimately about Jesus came and did this so that you can, you know, go to some place called heaven. Ultimately, the thing that makes heaven great is that's where God is. Whether it's in heaven or later on the new earth, being with God is the ultimate treasure, the ultimate goal. That's why I love what it says in 1 Peter 3:18. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." That's one of my favorite verses. Jesus Christ, he suffered once for sins. Okay, it was once and done on the cross. He doesn't need to do it over and over and over again. And it was as a substitute. The righteous, he was righteous. We are not righteous. We are sinners. He took the place of sinners when he went to the cross. That's the only way we can be saved. And the reason he did that, it says, so that he can bring you to God. Because otherwise, sin was a barrier. Sin was cutting us off from that ultimate relationship with God. We were separated from God because of our sin. And so the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, came down, became an authentic human being, fully God, fully man, so that he could live a perfect life, die on the cross for sinners, for all that will put their trust in him alone as their Savior, and take away that sin problem, take away that barrier. And that's just so you don't have to go to hell, or you can go to heaven and have other treasures besides God, instead of God, but that ultimately you could be with God and that he would be your treasure. And even in this life already, we start to make him our treasure. Even though we haven't seen him in all of his beauty and glory yet, he's revealing himself to us through Scripture. He's shining his light into our hearts, all these different ways that we can know him. But that's just a foretaste of what is coming. So if you have God as your treasure, you have already the greatest treasure. Here's my second point. And I think we need to have this to, I don't want to say balance it out, but to be able to look at the world that we live in even more comprehensively. Does this mean, well, make sure that you don't find happiness in anything else that's out there? Because if you do, you're betraying God, because he's your only treasure, he's your ultimate treasure. Don't you dare, you know, look at those northern lights and think, wow, those are beautiful, okay? Don't you think about your family and take pleasure in that, because then you're betraying God. Here's my second point. I think this is really important. If God is your treasure, then you can enjoy his gifts as well, okay? So it does not mean this whole message that you can only find happiness in God and nothing else, because, yeah, you can think about other things that are just are good, pure sources of happiness and joy. And whether it is your family, whether it's a beautiful day, whether it is, you know, there's certain things that, you know, God made us that we can appreciate and that we can enjoy. So we're not saying that you can't find happiness in nothing else. Instead, we can find happiness in God's gifts if we keep them in the right place, and if we glorify God through these gifts. I'll say that again. We can find happiness in God's gifts if we keep them in the right place and glorify God through his gifts. So let me break this down. I'll give you kind of three rules to think through this. Of other things that you can and you should glorify God through and you can find joy and happiness in. Rule one, it must actually be a gift from the Lord. Okay? So this means not sin. Okay, if there's things that are sin, that are from the Lord, then yeah, you might find all kinds of pleasure in that because there's deceptive pleasure in sin. And oftentimes the devil takes something good and he twists it. But it has to actually be something that is a gift from God. So if the Bible says that's sin, that's not something that you should be taking that pleasure in. A fish likes the worm on the hook, but it isn't put there as a gift. And Satan also will take good things and he will twist them into traps. So you need to realize that. But if something is actually from the Lord, that's rule number one. And then rule number two, keep his gifts in their right place, under God. Okay? Or else they become idols. So sinful things can become idols when we love them. Okay? But also good things, if we get them out of place, they can also become idols as well. So even your family, even being out in nature, in the woods, all different things, they can be good things, but if you put them above God, now they're a functional idol because you put them above him as a greater treasure than him. Again, don't treasure the treasure map more than the treasure itself. And then rule three, let the gift make you think of the giver. I mean, that's ultimately the reason why we want to give, you know, gifts, is you're hoping that that person's going to view it as an expression of your love to them. And when they appreciate, if you give a gift to someone, they appreciate that. You hope that they appreciate the gift. But also, you, I guess, would hope that if I gave a gift to my wife, you know, she wouldn't love what I gave her more than she loves me. But I hope, you know, she would know that this is something that's an expression of my love. Or if we give gifts to our kids, you know, the same way. So God gives us gifts. We have to say, is it really from God? Keep it in the right place. But then use it as something that helps us to think and be thankful to the giver for those gifts that he has given to us. I've heard it described like this. Like, if you're in a room and you see the sun ray coming through the room, okay, you can look at that sun ray and you can take pleasure in that, but you could trace that sun ray back to the source, you know, back to the sun itself. And so the gifts are like the sun rays that come into our world, but we recognize that they come from God as the ultimate source that gives us these gifts. In one of his books, John Piper put it this way, I thought it was helpful. He writes, but when the gospel of Jesus Christ frees us to see and savor the glory of God above all things, the way is open for us to experience seamless joy in God and his gifts. We're able to see every gift as a beam from the sun of God's glory. Every joy in the beam runs up to the fountain of light and ends there. No created thing becomes a rival, but only a revelation of God. Therefore, we can say that for the gospel-liberated mind, all joy in created things is seamless with joy in God. And this will really change your mindset. If you're focusing just on the gift and you're forgetting about the giver, that's bad. And that's what so many people do. They just want the gift. And it's a lot of people, they go to even God, and they're like the prodigal son, you know, that he wanted the father's stuff, but he didn't really want the father, so that's wrong. But we don't need to let the pendulum swing the other way so much that we say, I can't find pleasure in anything else. We can if you do it the right way, if you use it as a way for you to appreciate and love God as the giver of these gifts. Keep them in the right place. And use them to make you think about the one that gave you these things. Now, they're lesser things, and we recognize that. They might be things that we're willing to give away. but we recognize that God is the one that gave them to us. Let them make you think even more about the giver than the gifts. And the way they're like pointers towards, you know, God. You ever have a pet and you try to point to something for your pet? You know, hey, look over there, look over there. It doesn't work, you know, unless you have a specially trained animal. I don't know, but, you know, usually it's like the dog isn't or cat isn't going to look at what you're pointing at. They're just going to stare at your finger. And that's what most people end up doing. You know, God, these gifts that we have, these good things are like pointers to, hey, look at God, think about God. But we just sit there and we stare at the finger, we stare at the arrow instead of what it's actually pointing to. But if we recognize these things are given to us, the points to God, then we can acknowledge the right place and still find joy in them and for their purpose in pointing us to God. I want to say we don't love God just for his gifts, but we should also love God for his gifts because they show us who he is and they show his love and his care for us. So again, we don't want to just say that, you know, it's just all about the gifts. Augustine in the early church wrote, "He loves thee too little who loves anything together with thee which he loves not for thy sake." John Piper put it in a way that's a little more contemporary. God will not be a mere dispenser of gifts for those who have no delight in God himself. So again, there's some churches that are all about, you know, the health and wealth and the gifts. God is not here. He is not the treasure map leading us to the other treasure that we want. The other things of the treasure map leading us to God. He is the ultimate treasure. But again, this means that you can treasure God through his gifts. The greatest gift he gives is himself, but the other gifts are gifts that point us to him as well. And I think if they're good things, it's healthy and good, you know, to take time to find pleasure in these things. And you know what? That'll make you a more thankful person. It will make you even psychologically a happier person. I read somewhere that there's something about to have an experience kind of stick with you if you can focus on it for like 7 seconds and just take it in. That somehow, I guess, it sticks with you more often. And I've thought about that because there's times where, you know, there's something good. You're outside, there's just some beauty. Or I've had these times where I'm just appreciating my family. And I want to challenge you to do this. Just take time where you take, no matter how busy your day is, take just 7 seconds to just appreciate those things and then thank God. And I tell you, if you start the practice of doing that, you'll be a more thankful person, you will be a happier, and you will be a mentally healthier person doing that. God gives you these things. There's good stuff that you can take pleasure in the right way. Let that sink in with you, and then give glory to God for it. And final point, point number 3, if God is your greatest treasure, then you can never lose your treasure. What a beautiful thing, again, to have a treasure that cannot be lost. The moth and rust cannot destroy, the thieves cannot break in and steal, and God is ultimately that treasure. And so if God is your treasure, rather than something else, you know, if it's anything else in this world, you might lose it in this life, eventually be separated from it. But God, you'll never lose it. One, this means that nothing can ever separate you from your greatest treasure if your greatest treasure is God. And if you know him through Jesus Christ, which Jesus said is the only way to know God, okay? So if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and I pray that you have, recognizing what we just read, God came, Jesus died on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God, okay? Respond to that and turn from your sin, turn to him and embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior, okay? And if you have God as your Savior, then you can never lose that treasure. He will not let that happen. He will not let that happen. Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not going to let you be separated. Also, you might lose maybe a lesser treasure. Okay, so there's other things that are good things, that are treasures, but you might lose those. You might lose some of his gifts, okay? But not even death can cause you to lose your greatest treasure if your greatest treasure is God, if your greatest treasure is Jesus Christ. That's why Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He said, if I'm in this life, I'm going to be living for God. I'm going to be living to serve Jesus Christ and serve other people and to help them. But if they kill me, even better. I get to go be with my greatest treasure. That you mean me harm, but all you're doing is sending me to the one I love the most and treasure the most. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And even suffering, even the deepest trials that we could experience, we still have this treasure forever. Read 2 Corinthians 4:5 through 9. It also contains this word treasure. "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, for God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts and has given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." So even our trials cannot take this greatest treasure away from us. The knowledge of Christ and the gospel, it's like treasure is hidden in a jar of clay. You know, we're not that great. And the reason that God did that, he put it in us, he entrusted it to us. You know, so ultimately he is a treasure, not us. Not because I'm so great, because you're so great, our church is so great. He is the ultimate, the great one. But he entrusts that treasure to us, and he entrusts it to us to have this treasure, but also to give this treasure and to share this treasure with other people. It's a treasure that's meant to be shared. And if God is your treasure, then you can share your treasure without decreasing it one bit. Now I want to emphasize this. I think this is so valuable to realize. If God is your treasure, there's other treasures you can worry about. Well, if I give this away, I'm going to have less for myself. I can't risk depleting it. But God's not like that. He's a treasure we're meant to share, and by doing it, it doesn't decrease the pleasure, the treasure that we have in God, one little bit. I mentioned earlier in the service that I haven't collection of Old Spice antiperspirant. And I was not kidding about this. This is a part of the sermon where you learn weird things about your pastor. But I appreciate Old Spice antiperspirant. I think it smells terrific. I take pleasure in it. And a few years ago, we were in the golden age of Old Spice. Let me just talk about this for a little bit. You know, there's the classic Old Spice, which is really good, okay? And then they started introducing, you know, other types, other varieties. So they had the Bear Glove. They had Timber. They started Swagger. Don't like that as, the others are better. And then all of a sudden they had all kinds of different, you know, varieties that were out there. And I just like them. And maybe this is weird, but there's times before I would go to bed, I have a drawer, and sometimes I would have a half dozen or more just different varieties of Old Spice in there. And I'm like, I'm gonna smell my Old Spice before I go to bed. This smells so good. Oh, it's weird, but you know, hey, God made good smelling things. You can take joy in that, okay? And I would go to places. I would go to, you know, to Walgreens or the store, or Walmart, or Rite Aid, and go to their Old Spice. Well, what do they got here? Because for a while they had like 20 different types of Old Spice. And which ones do I like best? And buy them and try them out, sniff them and compare them. I know, it's really weird. Okay. I have a picture for you. I did this like over a year ago. This was not for this message. But I'm like, I wanted to rank my Old Spice collection. So I lined them up and I took a picture. And this isn't even all of them. These are all the good ones. Okay? So from Elk Lord all the way down to Bear Glove and Night Panther, which are still really good. I mean, there's all kinds of other ones. They came out with like Eagle Fang and Raptor Strike, and they kind of went a little bit overboard. Okay? We listed 8 of them, but the top of them all, Elk Lord. Oh, man. That's good stuff. I mean, Steel Titan is good, but Elk Lord, it just smells terrific. I don't know how to describe it, but it's great. And it's called Elk Lord. Sounds fantastic. So I give it as much as I could. You know, I would hook up my boys, you know, with deodorant too. So I have a different part of my thing where I have a bag full of stuff with just all kinds of just a stockpile. You know, so they're around deodorant. Hey, Dad, hook me up. And I let them pick through and make recommendations for them. You know, and I let them, hey, try this Elk Lord. It's really great. And they'd appreciate that. You know, I got 3 boys, 14 and on up. That's a lot of stinky armpits. Okay? So they'd start appreciating this. But I had to kind of taper off the Elk Lord because I realized it was getting hard to come by. Because even when they had it, you couldn't find it that much. It was kind of rare. And I realized, oh, no, I think they're stopping making it. And I realized, oh, they stopped making it. So I started going on. Every time I would have an opportunity, I would buy, you know, the Elk Lord, the antiperspirant, not just the deodorant, okay? They smell different. I think they smell different. And so, yeah, I started buying stuff online. I started making a stockpile. And so up in my closet, I have a box that is my treasure chest of different Old Spices that are no longer being produced. So a lot of Elk Lord here and some Steel Titan as well. Quite a bit of, that's a weird thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's my treasure. Don't come for this. Okay. But I've realized, I have this, but I can't use it even. Because if I use it, I'll use it up and then it's gone. And then that's just cruel. So now what's the point? I have it, it's sitting in the thing. I guess I can smell it. You know, it smells great. But I wish they make candles out of this stuff. Oh, it'd be terrific. But if I start using it, there's not an infinite supply, I'll use it up. And like I said, the boys, they got to pick the other stuff. You know, they can take the Night Panther and the Bear Glove and stuff like that, or even the Timber. But it's like, if I give them this, then I got less for myself. And, you know, it's like, maybe I'm selfish, but I want to keep my Elk Lord for myself here. Because here's my point with this. God isn't like that. You can share God, like I said, without decreasing your treasure one bit. I can't share my Elk Lord without decreasing it. I could, but I'd have less. And maybe I will, maybe I won't. But God is not like this, because God is infinite, okay? He is an infinite treasure for each of us. You're never going to get sick of him. In fact, the more that you see him, the more he'll be your treasure more and more in this life, and I believe more and more in the life to come. I don't think you max out the day you go to heaven. I think it's just the beginning of treasuring God. It'll increase for eternity. And because God is infinite, that means that you can and you should share him with other people. And that doesn't decrease your treasure one little bit. In fact, the way that God has planned it, actually, the more that you share this treasure, the more that you get glory, that you get to experience his glory and his joy and pleasure in him yourself. Instead of decreasing the treasure, the more that you share this treasure, the more that you treasure him also. So treasure God and treasure him through his gifts. And do what you can to share this treasure with other people. It's not meant to just keep to ourselves. We want other people to experience the treasure that comes in knowing Jesus Christ. Christianity is not about making people miserable. It's about making people happy forever with Jesus Christ as their treasure. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are such a great gift. And Lord, thank you that you've given us the best gift of all, the gift of yourself. And we thank you, we give you praise, and we bend the knee because Jesus Christ, your son, had to die on the cross for us to remove the sin barrier so that we could have you as our treasure forever, Lord. Lord, may we always make you our greatest treasure and live for you as our greatest treasure. May we use our other treasure in this life to serve you and so other people can know you, Lord God. Lord, thank you for your gifts. May we find a joy in that that points to you, Lord God, keeping them in the right place. But Lord, we praise you. We treasure you with our hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.